Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And welcome to this service this morning. This is the second service, and the Lord has been helping us. He's been giving us strength. He's been giving us grace. And I just pray that as you have come this morning, that indeed the Lord will touch you and speak to you personally in the mighty name of Jesus. Okay, this is a month of the making. That means the Lord will make you. Amen. The Lord will make you. You see, every manufacturer of a product has raw materials, right? You don't just manufacture or make something without having the raw material to make it. So if you want to make a car, you get the car parts, and then you have the assembly plant, and then you make the car. Okay, and then when you make the car, what do? You put the car through some testing. So you see, production has a life cycle. There's a life cycle of production. You put the car through the testing, all the necessary regulatory compliance testing, just to make sure that the car is worthy of being marketed to the consumers, right? It doesn't matter what you are manufacturing. You need the raw material. For God, the one raw material that God has is His Word. And that's why the Bible tells us that, you know, the mission statement of our church is building your word by His Word. The His there is God. It's not a small H. It's capital H. So you're building your word by the Word of God. And, you know, last week, on Friday, Pastor Angela was teaching us, and, you know, he was, you know, telling us some of the things we need so that God can really, you know, be our maker. Because ultimately, that's what God wants to do. God wants to make your marriage. He wants to make your career. He wants to make your destiny. God wants to make your business. God wants to make you strong in your health, in your mind, in your thinking, in your, you know, in every single area. The Lord wants to make you. The Lord wants to glorify Himself in your life in every area. It doesn't matter what that specific area is. And then, you know, she was saying that every time she comes here, that she always make reference to the word. And that, you know, it's becoming like a cliche, but, you know, she just couldn't get beyond that. Always talk about the word. And I thought to myself there, you know, really, what else are we going to be talking about? What else is there to talk about when we talk about Christianity? And then Pastor was teaching us last week Sunday, and he said something. He said, what following God means is simply search the scripture for His word and just do it. It's as simple as that. Search the scripture for His word and just do it. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, Hebrews 11, 3. The Bible says, by faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen, the things that we see, the sun, the moon, the sea, you know, the earth as it is, the beauty and the glory of this world, they were made from things that were not seen. They were made from things that were not seen. But how? By the word of God. So the word of God is the raw material for making the world as it is today. Amen? So the word of God will always be the raw material that God will use to reshape your destiny in that area where you are trusting Him for. So it's a very important thing that, you know, we have this understanding. It is very critical that we have this focus. Because see, what I've come to find in Christianity is that it is sometimes too simple. We're just looking for something that is melodramatic. You know, we're looking for something, you know, that is exhilarating, you know, just like you are running, you know, Formula One, and you just want something out of this world, okay? But the reality of life is that there is nothing else other than the Word of God. The Word of God is the basis on which God is going to build our destiny. The Word of God is the basis on which God is going to build our career, our person, that God is going to build our family. The Word of God forms the very core of our existence as believers. It is His Word. God has nothing else to offer you. If God has said that if you bring like seven, bulls and, seven goats and seven sheep, and then you slaughter them, and then your career is going to go this way, and, you will do it, because that's a little bit more like it, more like what we are used to, okay? Because there is some pain, there is some expenses that comes with that. And, you have come to believe and understand, or maybe even accept it, that for you to really get something of worth or value, that you need to make some physical sacrifice. That's the mentality. And people do that. People do that. I used to see that growing up in my family. Just made needless sacrifice to a God who doesn't have ears. You make needless sacrifice to a God who cannot see. Why? Because there is just something about man that wants to interact with something. So it's very difficult for us to accept the concept of an unseen God. We must see something. Something must be in the corner of the house. Something must be somewhere that we can bow down our head to and say, "You are my God." But with God, it's just too simple. And because of its simplicity, we take it for granted sometimes. We just take it for granted. Why? Because it's too simple. We're talking about salvation. If, if you want to join the secret societies of this world, they take you through an initiation program, and then you value people, talking about the world. And then the world value those things. Why? Because, it's painful becoming a part of those things, but they are willing to pay the price just to belong. But because the Word of God says, just believe and accept and confess. It's too simple. Simple as ABC. I mean, how can eternal life come through this simplicity? How can the transformation of my destiny just come through this simple confession of faith? It's just too simple. So because it is simple, it doesn't carry some weight. And so we treat our salvation as something that is of low importance or values to our lives. But therein lies the wisdom of God. It is in these simple things that look foolish that God demonstrates his power. And that's why the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians, it says, Christ is the power of God unto salvation. It says to the Jews, it's foolish. Why? Because they're looking for a sign. And to the Gentiles, it's just absolutely crazy, because how can it be? They're looking for something that is dramatic, something that is out of this world to make it worth their acceptance. But that's not the way God works. And you see, that is further exemplified by the story in the book of, Second Kings chapter 15, when you see the story of Naaman. Naaman was a leper. He was a Syrian general, and he was looking for healing. And then he came to the prophet in Israel, who was Elisha. And Elisha said to him, all you need to do is just go to the river of Jordan and take a bath. And the man took offense. I traveled from Syria all the way down to this place, and you are telling me to go into the Jordan River and take a bath? That doesn't make sense. There were better rivers in Syria. I could have gone into that river, had a good bath, and had my skin cleaned up. And I like Elisha. I said, that's all I've got to offer you. It's your choice. You take it or you leave it. And the man said, you know what? I ain't taking that. And he was going back to his country. But we thank God for the servant of Elisha who ran after him. And I say, what is your problem? This leprosy is real. We can see your skin blistering. So why? What is it going to cost you to just go into the river? At least do what the man of God has said you should do. And out of, and even then, you know what? He still offered to give the man something which the man shouldn't have taken, because he could not understand the concept of just accepting the free grace of God. So he needed to pay something. So he gave some things to Gehazi, who ultimately didn't just take the goodies, but he also took the stigma that came with it. All right? But the point I'm trying to make here today is that the word of God is very simple. And we should learn to accept it with simplicity and approach it with serious commitment and focus. Amen? Okay, I've talked so much and I haven't given you the title, right? Today I'm preaching on what I have titled, Get the Word In. Get the Word In. You see, for God to make anything of your life, God needs the raw material to make these things. And the raw material that God uses is His Word. So for Him to be able to work with you and accomplish and do the things that He wants to do with you, you need to have His Word in your spirit. God is spirit. He's not physical. God will engage with you through His Spirit. But if your spirit is not alive because it's not being fed and is dying daily, God has nothing to relate with. God must be able to relate with you on the spiritual plane. And for you to keep your spirit alive, you need to keep your spirit watered by the word of God. Amen? Let's open to Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1. And then I'll read from verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I want you to underline, be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I also want you to understand the rivers of water, the underline the word rivers of water. That's if you have your Bible and the Bible is yours. Then that brings forth its fruit. I want you to underline the word its fruit. And whose leaf shall not wither. I also want you to underline shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. I also want you to underline the word shall prosper, because those are the key things that I'm looking at this morning. The first thing that the word of God does for you when you have the word of God in you is that it gives you stability. The word of God gives you stability. Why do you need to be stable? Why do you need stability? Stability from what? You see, the journey of life is a long one. And the one thing God did not promise you when you came to faith is that you will live a life that is challenge-free. You know, I was just having a chat with Buki and what's it? Remind me now, my brain is just zeroed in here. In the office, and you know, we're talking about challenges what are the importance? Why do we need to be challenged in our lives? The reality of life is that when there are no challenges, people go into lethargy. You can't, a man who have not gone through challenges in life have nothing to offer a person that is going through a challenge right now. So sometimes when God takes you through the journey of life and it looks so hard and difficult, you just think that, oh, God is not with me. But God is with you. God was with Stephen when he was being stoned to death in the book of Acts chapter 8. God was with Paul and Silas when they were in the prison. He says, when you go through the fire and when you go through the waters, I will be with you. So why do you think because you are going through some difficult moments, the job has not come as quickly as you expected, the children are not coming as quickly as you bargained before you married, the children are not behaving the way you expect that they should, the marriage is not going the way you think or you dreamt that it should be before you got married, things are just out of shape. And because of that, God is unfaithful. But it's in those things that the power and the grace of God is made manifest. God has to find a way to strengthen your faith. God has to find a way to make you strong. And it's not about you, it's about His people. Because see, the thing is, when you are too comfortable, you don't have a story to tell the people that God will bring your way. But when God has made you an overcomer by giving you the grace and the enablement to scale through some really tough obstacles, then you have a story to encourage someone. Amen? So God takes us through those challenges to strengthen us. But the reality is that when the challenge comes, will you be able to stand? And this is where the rubber really meets the road. Because, you see, at room temperature, everything is cool and nice, all right? But when the temperature of life really gets high and tough, can you stand? When the wave of the challenge is getting really strong, are you able to stand? Let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 47. It says, whatever, Luke chapter 6, I'm ahead of these guys, right? So just bear with me, but it's just because I have to learn to manage my time so I can't let them dictate my space, okay? Or my pace. So Luke, and that's why you should come to the church with your Bible as well. Don't rely on these ones. Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. It says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. Verse 48. It says, he's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, and trust me, brethren, the flood of life do arise. It says, when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. You see, the Bible says that if you fail in the day of adversity, it's because you have a small strength. When the winds of life come blowing, whether it's against your career, against your business, in the life of your children, in your marriage, are you really able to stand and be steady? This is where you need the word of God. The word of God will fortify you and give you the strength. You see, the man has his spirit, and sometimes we're very strong and we're very macho physically. And intellectually, we are deep and sound and solid and can engage in any intellectual discussion of any kind. But when the challenges of life comes, only one thing will hold you steady, and that is your spirit. So when the spirit of a man is strong, the man can stand through testy times. The man can stand in the days of adversity. And that's why the Bible says that the spirit of a man will sustain him in infirmity. Not your knowledge, not your money, not the people you know. They will help. But folks, when it is really against, when the wind of life is really against you, only the Spirit of God can keep you going. So you may be shaking. It may look like the marriage is going to end. It may look like the child is going off track. It may look like the business has failed and there is no remedy. It may look like the career is not going anywhere. But when you hold on to the word of God, it will stabilize you and it will give you hope and it will give you focus. The word of God will stabilize you through the difficult moments of life. So that's why, that's the first thing. Because when you look at the scripture we read in the book of Psalm 1, it says, shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. The rivers of water is what provides, you know, it gives the tree access to the nutrients that are available to it. So it waters it. I was saying it, you know, earlier in the first service, that I've just laid a lawn. And the landscaper has told me that I need to wake up in the morning and water the grass. I need to come back in the evening and water this grass. I say, this is another routine to my daily routine task. But I needed to keep, because he specifically warned me, if you don't do this, then your warranty is void, right? So every morning I had to get up and get the sprinkler on and make sure that the grass is happy. I have to come back in the evening and do exactly the same thing. But you know what? I'm seeing the results because I can see that the grass is indeed happy. It's looking green. Why? Because it's receiving what is necessary. And we need to feed our spirit and strengthen our inner person by the word of God, because that is like the water to the grass. It makes us strong. It makes us green. And so when the winds of life come blowing and beating vehemently, we are able to stand. We are stable. We are strong. And we are able to push forth and push through. Because that is what the Word of God does for us. It gives us stability. Amen? The second thing that the Word does for you is makes you fruitful. It says, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season. And you see, sometimes when we hear about fruitfulness, the first thing we think about is what we have sown. You know, for the farmer, is looking for a big harvest, right? But when it comes to the thing of Scripture, when the Scripture is telling you about fruit, most of the time, because you see, when God wants to talk about harvest, he talks about harvest. But when we're talking about the fruit, most of the time, especially in the context of the New Testament, it's talking about character. It's talking about character. The Word of God will build in you character. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, what happens when you engage with the Word of God is that you are engaging with the Spirit that is in the Word. And the Spirit of God changes you and transforms you. You know, it takes care, give you the grace and the ability to deal with lying tongues. Give you the grace and the ability, you know, to decongest yourself of those little things that spoil the vine. Because it's the little things that spoil the vine. But what the Word of God is able to do is, as in Galatians 5:22, is build in you what we call the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what's the fruit of the Spirit? It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. When you have these character traits, when you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit manifesting in you, your life will make a difference to your cycle of influence. Because at the end of the day, as I said earlier, anything and everything that the Lord does for you is not because of you. Because a lot of times we have this mentality that God is just there to fulfill our vision, to make our dreams come true, to make life, you know, beautiful and rosy for us. God will do those things, but that's not his focus. God's primary focus is to use you to as an example. The Bible says that the earnest expectation of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen? God wants to use your life and as an example to your cycle of influence. So when God has elevated you to a particular level, it's because you need to relate with people at that level so that you can be a light that shines in their dark world and bring many to Christ. So that's why God will go to any extent to ensure that, you know, you have peace around you by making sure that your children are in line with how you want them to go and how God wants them to go. By ensuring that your career is on the upside, by ensuring that your business is growing that you expect. God wants to prosper you. God wants to make your life, he wants to make your life colorful, but it's not just because of what you have to eat and how comfortable you have to live. That's not God's primary purpose. Just as he takes you through challenges so that you can become a source of encouragement to other people when they are going through challenges, also he prospers you and blesses you so that you can become an influencer in your cycle of influence. Amen? So the Lord will make you fruitful. The third thing is that God will make you resilient. It says, your leaves shall not wither. And in the book of Job, chapter 22, verse 29, it says, when men are saying there is a casting down, he says, you will be saying that there is a lifting up. You see, it takes a man who is very strong in the spirit to see the upside when everything around him is going down south. It's very difficult. You're in your office and everybody's talking about Brexit. And everybody's worried about their job. Because with Brexit, is the uncertainty of economic growth. If there is no economic growth, You don't know what's going to happen to your job. You don't know whether the house industry is going to collapse. You don't know whether the financial industry is going to move their whole headquarters from London to Amsterdam or maybe to Frankfurt. You know, you just have all these uncertainties. And because of this, all this uncertainty, there's a lot of worry, there's a lot of concern, there is a lot of apprehension amongst the people. But here you are, walking on the peace lane. And everybody is saying there's a casting down, and you are saying the Lord my God is on the throne. I don't care what Brexit is doing. I don't care whether they can get a deal or no deal. God is on my side. And because God on my side, I know that my tomorrow is assured. That is the mentality that God wants you to have. That is the place where God wants you to be. So you are resilient. Nothing. You know, where I come from, they will say no shaking. But even when there is shaking, nothing will break you. Why? Because the Lord your God has become your rock. And when you stand on the rock of the word of God, you are a man who is resilient. You can take whatever life throws at you. Why? Because the Lord has fortified your spirit. And finally, one other thing that the word does is it brings prosperity. The word of God will make you prosper. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, 8 says, and this was God talking to Joshua, and Joshua was about to embark on some heavy mission here. And God said to him, he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, after you have done this, you have been meditating on the word, and you have found the grace to do it. You remember what Pastor said yesterday? Just find what the word of God says in the scripture and just Nike it. Just do it. All right? That is what God is saying to you. See, as long as you do that, you say, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. It doesn't matter what you do. Whether you are selling water, whether you are baking bread like Mr. Lulu, or it doesn't matter what you are doing. God will prosper you because that's his desire. He wants to take you higher. He wants to take you further. He wants to bless your business. He wants to make you an example and a light to the world around you. But you need to get the word in. You need to fortify your spirit. You need to be strong in your inner person. Amen? So God will prosper you. You have nothing to worry about. The only thing you have to worry about is the discipline to be able to get in the word and do what is needful. Two things you need to do. If you go back to what we read in Psalm 1, it says, number one, you have to delight in the word. Okay, delight in the word of God. That's the first thing you need to do. Delight in the word of God. And secondly, you need to meditate on the word of God. These are the two things you need to do, but you need to find the discipline because you have to be very intentional about these things. Nothing comes cheap. The word, God will not give anything without responsibility, but this is all that the Lord is asking of you. And I don't believe it's too hard a thing to do. Amen? Are we going to do this? Find one scripture every day, one line of scripture, not a chapter, just one line, and meditate on this thing. That is, focus and think about it. Do it for 20 days and see what the Lord can do in your life. Amen? And God will give you the grace to do that. Amen. Let's rise up to our feet this morning. Amen. Just rise up to your prison. Just receive the grace to do that this morning, that God will receive you the grace to get in the word. Receive the grace to get the word into your spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless you this morning, even as we receive this grace, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.